Rucham Abayim to the 14th lecture in the series of lectures, Shi'urim, on the section of the Rambam in his guide for the perplexed, the Mir Nevuchim, on the negative theology. And I think that last time we actually ended at the very end of chapter 61, Perek Samach Aleph, I believe. And we're ready to, I think we might have begun a little bit, the Perek Samach Beis, chapter 62, which is on page 159 in the Schwartz edition. Okay, the Rambam now has been speaking about what we call the Shem HaMafurish, the usually understood to be the explicit name of God, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, tetragrammaton, that's something we sometimes refer to, and that the Shem HaMafurish was always is always a reference to the essence of God, which in fact is unknowable and cannot be described in any positive affirmative statement. So let's begin with Perek Samach Beis. This Tavino al Birkas Kehanim uva Shem Hashem kiksavoy asher hu Shem HaMafurish. In other words, the commandment of Birkas Kehanim requires that the Kehanim, when they bless the nation, they would bless the nation with the Shem HaMafurish. It was not known, not everyone knew how to pronounce it. In other words, what were the vowels of the letters? Do we put an accent in any of the letters? If there's a letter that's accented with a dagesh, with a little dot, not accented. Says the Rambam that this was a tradition that Chachamim would transmit to their students, Tainu, as Oifen HaGoya, the way in which it was pronounced. They wouldn't teach it to any person but their students. And the Rambam here quotes a Gemara, it's not an exact quote from the Gemara, but it's close enough, right? El Talmud Hogum Pam Achas B'Shavua. They would pass it on to a student once a week. Actually, it probably means once in every 7 years. Says the Rambam, "Ani ma'amin shemash amu shem ben arba oisil chacham oisus lebnei matamidim pamachas b'shuvah." Ain't the rock kates levatos. Says the Rambam, "I believe that when it says that they passed on the tetragrammaton, we're not only speaking about the pronunciation of the four letters. Elagam limud ha'inyan asher lamano yichud shem zo, but rather they taught the philosophy of the." In other words, the philosophy, the concept of the essence of God to which this name is referring to. In other words, basically, they would teach people these chapters of the Megadavuchim, of the negative theology. In this case, in other words, what's the Rambam saying? The Rambam says, and therefore it would be a secret. In other words, what's bothering the Rambam is, I mean, what's spurring the Rambam to say what he's saying, is that if you say it was just a question of pronunciation, why should it be such a secret? I mean, why is it a secret to pronounce a word one way or another way? But if you say that somehow what Chazal said, the pronunciation, also refers to the limud, refers to the idea of God's essence, the negative theological concept of God, of necessary existence, right? Then in fact, we understand that's what's called a soid eloki, even though I think we raised the question, why should this be such a secret? I mean, after all, doesn't the Rambam insist that this is the way we should think about a Kodesh Baruch? But we'll get to this in the Shem a little bit later on. Kachaya Etzlam Shem Ben Shtei Mesrei Oisius. Rambam says they had also a concept of what's called a name of God composed of 12 letters. Ashu Pachis Bekdusha Ben Hashem Ben Abi Oisius. It was less Kedusha than the name of 4 Oisius. And of course, according to Rambam, it's going to be very, very good. Because only the Shem Yudkei Vavkei can be God's essence. Any other name is going to actually be a combination of names, which is going to indicate some type of, I wouldn't say positive attributes, but something less than the negative theological concept of God's essence, and therefore it's going to be, therefore, ipso facto, less in holiness, less in Kedusha.
From the Gemara, it's Mashma, it's more.
B'skalav yaisal dati shloyash zeshem echad. Says the Rambam, I believe it wasn't only one name. Elishnei shem, it's a shloysha. But rather it was 2 names or 3 names. That if you take all the letters of all the names, you add them up, you get to 12. Shem zeh hu ayo b'chanim boi kol emes shabba b'kriya shem ben abi oisis. In other words, this name would refer to the four names. In other words, when we say Adnos, we really mean Yud Kei Vav Kei. In other words, somehow, just like Adnos refers to Yud Kei Vav Kei, but doesn't carry with it the inherent philosophical implications within the letters of pronunciation, so too, the 12-lettered name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu also somehow refers to something unique about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, more than Adnos, but it's not the Yud Kei Vav Kei itself. But nonetheless, in other words, this, at least in the beginning, this name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was 12 letters, was not something that was guarded or kept a secret. So whoever wanted to learn it, limdu, I say, no, they taught everybody, right? Lo kenshem ben Abi Yosef. With Ben Abi Yosef was always kept a secret. In other words, the Shem Abba Oisias was always kept a secret. That was always a secret that was only transmitted to those people who were privy to this oral transmission. But 12, the name of 12 letters, initially, was taught to everybody. Until, of course, we'll see this is going to be a degeneration in history. When people began to, more people began to learn this name of 12 letters, what they did was they abused it. Now, it's something which happens when a person who's not worthy of understanding of, dealing with a certain concept, learns something, so eventually it's a degeneration. So therefore, when it came to the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they only taught it to the Tznuim Shebekuna. Became a Hashem because the Shem Fuish already was not being the Shem Mufurish was already not being expressed in the Beis HaMikdash. And then the Rambam quotes Bishamei Shimon HaTzadik Bitlu Ochav HaKohanim Melevoch B'Shem, that in fact actually when Shimon HaTzadik died, then the Kohanim already would not say the priestly benedictions with the Shem of Foolish. But they would use the 12-lettered name. But then, after that, there was another history. Right? Is that first they used to teach it to everybody. When people who were not worthy, right, were taught this name, they would give it only to Zum the Kohuna. And they would say it in a way that, in other words, the other kohenim would inherit. Amar Abtafen says, "Pam achaz alisi acha avi ima leduchen." He went with the zayda to duchen. V'tizi osni, and he said he kept an ear out for something. Etzel koyev v'shamatim shivliu b'di imus achem akehanim. He heard that the kohenim was saying this, and so like swallowing or saying it very, very softly.
They were saying the four-letter name.
This is what?
They were saying the four-letter name quietly while they were...
No. I think it's a 12-letter name already. There's a 12-letter name already.
So what were they...
The four-letter name already basically was before the Shimon HaTzadik.
Right.
And then when the Shimon HaTzadik, they would say the 12-letter name.
So
then after that, there was a further generation. And by Rav Tafin's time, or when Rav Tafin's grandfather was around, then in fact, actually, only the Stum would say the 12-letter name.
So what were the other kind of saying?
They probably didn't know it.
So what were they saying?
I don't know. So Kubasi said they're saying maybe the 42-letter name. Maybe the 42-letter name.
Okay.
Ha'legam kem shem ben shteim v'aba oisiyas. There's also 42 oisiyas. Yadu l'chol v'zgul l'tfis l'buseges. Shal yitachem b'shem panim sh'abam y'shteim oisiyas yel milachat. It's impossible that one name can be 42 letters as the Rambam. Basically, there must have been a combination of names that came to 42. There's no question about it that, in other words, these letters come to refer to some type of philosophical concept. It must be that these concepts, the concepts which are being expressed by these words, somehow are coming to teach us, or referring to God's essence. In other words, why is it called a shame? If it's a lot of words, why is it called a shame? Because all the words included in this 42 lettered combination of names is referring to one concept. And therefore we need four letters in order to explain the inyan. Sometimes to explain one thing you have to use many expressions. Remember this. Okay. The Ram goes on and on and on and says, Dash Davis Hashum Landim Haya Limud and Yonim Shalaya Mayim Oisam Hashem was for low beta oisis greatest. So therefore the Ram says, what do we see from this? We see from this clearly that we're not dealing with pronunciation only, but we're dealing with the concepts that were communicated through these names. And obviously these concepts were transcended beyond what we can conceptually understand. That's what the Rambam is saying.
What was he trying to do in this parak?
Okay, now, that's a good question. What is the Rambam trying to do in this parak? We can stop over here. It's a good question. What is the Rambam gaining by telling me that we first had Yud Kei Vav Kei, which refers to God's essence, and then we have a 12-letter name, but the 12-letter name, of course, is not the same thing as Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's several words, then a 42-letter name. Okay. I think I mentioned last time that the Rambam says in Perek Ayin Beis that in fact, actually, there are certain secrets of the Torah of which we don't have a Messiah that was lost. Now, why in fact don't we have a Messiah that was lost? So in other words, I mean, it's not that everybody forgot something, you know, at once. But rather, there must have been a continual decline of the generations, right? In which, in fact, actually, secrets, you know, these secrets were lost in a continual historical process, right? To the point where, in fact, actually, I think I'm sure at the very end, even the 42-letter name is not going to be transmitted. In other words, I think what the Rambam wants to do is explain to us is, in fact, why is it that, in fact, why is it that the Rambam, in order to explain the negative theology, is forced to rely upon Aristotelian philosophical concepts? I mean, don't you have a Messiah? So the Rambam has to explain the fact that the Messiah was broken. Well, what do you mean the Messiah was broken? Maybe you made it up. So if the Rambam could go to Chazal and explain Chazal, we clearly see how the Messiah was Heilech HaMamayit, and the Messiah, the concept of the God's negative theological conception, underwent a historical distortion and a historical degeneration, then basically the Rambam would say, look, okay, here. See, Chazal is saying we've lost the Messiah, we've lost the tradition, and therefore I have to be Machza Torah Liyoshna. I'm required, in fact, actually, to come along and, you know, place the theological concept of God within the proper parameters, which I feel is in accordance with, in other words, the Messiah as existed.
His interpretation of those.
Right?
His interpretation of those Chazal.
Oh, of course. I mean, that's all the Ma'ariv Nebuchim is, interpretation of Chazal.
It's back to being his Chiddush.
Right. It is Chiddush. But in fact, the Rambam, and look, let me tell you something. The fact is that the Rambam has done this already beginning in chapter 61. He brings Psukim, actually Nivra Oilam, Hayakosh Boch Hushmoy, Shpo Bolfad. In other words, he's bringing many Chazals to explain that God and his name is one. How is God and his name is one? Because if God's name are not one, then the name is merely a description of God. But God's name is his essence himself. In other words, and before the world existed. In other words, the Rambam, basically what it's doing is that once he has presented the philosophical foundations of negative theology, he's coming along and showing us now, in fact, how these statements of Chazal, confirm in some way, in other words, the things that I'm saying. And that's what the Rambam is saying. So I think over here, he's trying to explain how, in fact, a Messiah can degenerate. Basically, right, that's number one. Number two, there's another thing too, it's an important thing too. The Rambam in the Meir Nebuchim, I mean, we've spoken about this in these Shiurim, the Shiurim on creation. The Meir Nebuchim is at least supposed to be a secret book. It's supposed to be communicating Maisa Makova, Maisa Bereishis. Secrets which the Rambam feels at least. I mean, we will learn in B'yat Hashem, I know in these lectures, what exactly are the great secrets, where does he Where does he teach these great secrets? But the Moreh Nevuchim is clearly a book that's aimed at communicating secrets, which, you know, one would say these secrets are actually can only be communicated to those people who are fit, you know, or fit. What the Rambam is saying is that you see that the Shem Hashem too, the concept of the theology, is also a secret. It's a secret that has been expressed in history as something which is only communicated to very, very special people. As a result of this, in other words, the concept, the negative theological concept of God, is also to be considered among those things which should not be communicated to, in other words, to the Hamayin, on to the general people, but only those people who are in a position that they could, you know, intellectually absorb it and understand it. I think that's what the Rambam is probably saying here too. But in any case, I think what the Rambam is doing is he's trying to say, don't think that what I'm explaining to you is something new in Jewish history that has no source. In fact, what I'm doing is I'm actually restoring philosophically a concept which was known previously in history. Except that what? Why do I have to resort to Aristotelian proofs in, you know, the second section? Simply because this concept has gone through a certain amount of historical deterioration and decadence and degeneration. And therefore, because of this, people are, you know, have lost this Beseda, in other words, this tradition, and therefore I'm coming along and using philosophical means to restore what generations knew through either Nevuah, through prophecy, or through tradition. That's, I think, what the Rambam is coming to say. Now,
it's a very dangerous idea. We're talking about the basic principles of Judaism and God, and there's no, we don't know what they are.
Well, actually, by the end of today's Shia, it's going to get even more dangerous than that. You have no idea what the Rambam is doing in the Baruch Nevuchim. But we will get to the Mirat Hashem. Okay, now, what I think is, the Rambam also speaks about, it was a generation of the 42-letter word too. That's what the Rambam says. It was a Yudas Adonis. Now, what I want to do is I'm going to skip over it now, because I think that there are a few paragraphs here, but if I spend my time reading and translating, we'll basically have a reading and translating here, and I'm sure that's not what you want. Those of you who would like it, I refer you to the Pinnis edition. I would like to, or, you know, refer you to the Oskol edition, but there probably will never be an Oskol edition. Anyway, but in Perek Samach Gimel, chapter 63, comes the Rambam with a very interesting thing. He says, oh, let's actually begin with the last three lines in chapter 62, on page 161, before Perek Samach Gimel. Says the Rambam, right? In other words, every name of God is nigza, means it's a description of an act of God, except for the Shem HaMefuach, the explicit name of God. I want to speak about Ekya Sher Ekya. Right? First of all, it's very, very good, because actually we're in Pasha Shemois. And this is a very good, if those of you would like a vote for the Pasha.
Where Ekya is Shem HaMefuach?
We'll see him Yitzhak Shem. Ekya L'Choyer is not, but L'Maisa, I mean, when we pass on Shulchan Aruch, Ekya is Kodesh. It's about who is what Rasher is. We'll get to it in a little while. Okay, now. Beperek Nifra, Mikemet Shish Boi Inyan Adin Sha'anu Oiskin Boi, since basically this, in other words, it speaks about what we're speaking about, the Ainu Shlilas HaTor and negation of all positive attributes. Okay, Perek Samach Gimel, chapter 63. Naktim HaDamu. Says the Rambam, we'll give an introduction. And in my opinion, this is a very, very central chapter in the Moreh Nevuchim. In fact, when the Rambam says that since we got to this, we'll say that we'll speak about this. No, well, since we're speaking about this, we'll speak about this. That's the Rambam's way of saying, those of you who are really attentive, my really true readers who understand things, this chapter is the main chapter. Now, Perek Samach Gimel. Naktim Hakdama. Let us begin with an introduction. V'noimar b'asher l'mash amam Moshe. Olav Hashalom. Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Chorev, right? In front of the snare, in front of the burning bush, says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'omuli, they will say to me, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu that he wants him to go back to Mitzrayim, right? And to bring them out of Mitzrayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Va'omali ma shemoi ma oimu." If they ask me what is his name, what should I say to them? So says the Rambam, Kate and Nasta Shayla Midas and the Chutz. What type of question is this? What's his name? Kach Shu Shoel Ma Yanelah. Ashel and Vorov. Right? The Hemo Yamino Leave, Lishbu Bukali, Kiyamu Loinir Echelach Hashem. Ah, so comes the Ram with the Duke of the Pasuk. What do you mean, Loin Echelach Hashem? Hare Boema Oi, Shekach Tzorich Loima, El Kol Mi, Shetoin Lenavua. I mean, you say every person's a Navi, you ask the question. Achu Mevirai. You know what's special about Bush's question? I mean, they're not going to listen to me. Every Navi should say like that. It was. What the Rambam is saying is, why does Moshe Rabbeinu say this? No other Navi says this. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu the other Navi who says they're not going to believe me? They're going to ask me, you know, what's the name of God who sent me? I mean,
isn't Moshe the first Navi who has a
Navi? No, Avraham is going to be, and Navim answered that too. First of all, Avraham is going to be Yaakov. No one ever asked them a question.
But they never had a Navi for other people.
I understand that. What all the Navim answered that? You mean, Yisrael, they weren't worried about that either. V'oi says, that's number one. Number two says the Rambam, V'oi, if a double who kafishinira, if we learn simple pshat, meaning, what's the name of a Kodesh Baruch? What's his name? Shizu Shem Gredish Vatim, so it's a name that, in other words, everybody pronounces the name, right? Azai Achas Mishtayim. So Rambam says that one or two possibilities. I'm over on page 162. O Shisrael Kva Yodos Hashem Azai. Either they already knew the name, O Sheklal Lo Shamu Oisomelo. They never heard the name. So like this, says the Rambam, either way. If they knew the name already, what's Moshe telling them? They also know the Moshe Rabbeinu. Achim lo shamu osam, never heard the name. I know this God, how do you know it's the name of God? In other words, what's Moshe telling them? Either he's telling them they already know, so he's not telling them anything, or he's telling them that they don't know, in which case he's also not telling them anything. Says the Rambam, after Kodesh Baruch Hu says to him, Lech v'yasavta zikne Yisrael, go gather the zikne Yisrael, the elders of the Jewish people, v'sham l'kalech, and they should listen to your voice. Acharei says, Adonai Moshe, Allah v'shalom v'omer, Hashem answered and said, they're not going to believe me. Shrei koim l'kach divu Yisrael Allah, v'sham l'kalech, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, they listen to you. Acharei says, Kodesh Baruch Hu said to them, mazab yadcha, but there seems to be a different question here. Why don't you ask a question again? In other words, they're not going to believe me. You already asked the question, what's your name? What am I going to say to them? So says the Rambam the following thing. Now comes the Rambam with a very, very essential, right, theme in the Megillah Nebuchadnezzar. Mashallah ladas kach shizbar lecha kol hakosha zehu mashar melach. I'm going to tell you everything that's taken away all the difficulty of this psukim. Yedei ata kama for samayis the Rambam says at that time, the Sabaya is the Sabians, is the Rambam's, what the Rambam calls those people who are idolaters at that time. V'shanoshim kulam, and that most people, lamait achadim, the exception of several individuals, hayu oita v'nezora. Most people at that time were pagans, including the Jewish people, as in a little while. Anim et kavil Lamuna be Yeshua's Ruchonius Bevshogas Laridas a Yeshua's Aela. We're speaking about people who lead certain spirits and believe they can take the spirits and bring them to earth. Oliasias Hatlis Mois, they made certain stones in which they made pictures of stars. Call Toin the Dias Anistam is Manam Kula, but Shaton the Bola Ian Varish, Oilo Shes, Kabala Mashal of Ram, or Shaton Shiodo, love Yeshua's Ruchonius, Shalkoiko, Malak Yetzibazer. In other words, either people claim that there was a God in the world, or they claim that they saw angels. But then a person said that God spoke to him, and he speaks to the Jewish people. It was never before Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, in other words, Moshe Rabbeinu, this is what you're saying, is the first person to say God spoke to me and told me to say this to you. It was, so number one, most people are idolaters. These people would claim that they saw angels and they saw, you know, quote-unquote gods, or they would claim, like Avraham Avinu, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu appeared to them that there's a God above the terrestrial. And in other words, we don't see that the Avos, even though Kodesh Baruch Hu appeared to the Avos, to the forefather, the Avos of Yaakov, we don't think Kodesh Baruch Hu told him to say things to people. Right? God told me to do this. God told me to tell you to do this. Don't do this. He sent me to you. There was never like this. In other words, basically, they just appealed to people, not to tell them what God told them, but rather, you would say, anything was that they found directly relevant. In other words, the Rebbe was trying to help people. Kiruv. He was in Kiruv. In other words, there was no message from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but Avraham Avinu was trying to help people.
But Avraham discovered God by himself.
No, but it says a Kodesh Baruch Hu appeared to Avraham Avinu too. It was being about even a Kodesh Baruch Hu appeared to Avraham Avinu. There wasn't a clear message to people. Avraham Avinu was trying to spread the faith of monotheism.
It was only after, according to Rambam, only after Avraham discovered God, then God appeared to him.
Well, whatever it is, but he's speaking about that even when he appeared to Avraham Avinu, the purpose was not to deliver a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They learn with people, they interacted with them, they try to be, they try to have a connection with them, right? Like it says, Vesanevah Hashem also Mechoran. No, they're trying to kill. Okay, however, the Kashir Niglis, Ali Sadla Moshe Rabbeinu, Tzivah Allah Nuzanis, but the other Lafi Alem Meshlichus Hazois. But what a Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to inform people, I'm sending you on a mission, you tell people something. So he said to him, Hadova Harishin Shish Alu Aisi Vusha Emes Laem Shinim Tzalakai Ba'oila, Achazosh Etan Shushlochani. It was basically, he says, right? Moshe Rabbeinu said, the first thing they're going to ask me is, how do they know there's a God in the world? Now, what does that mean is, Moshe Rabbeinu has to bring proof to a God. And after that, right? I'm going to have to claim that what? That he sent me. Most people at that time were unaware that there was a transcendental God. This includes Klal Yisrael. By the way, this is actually going to be the sheet of the Rambam, the third chalik of the Magen Avochim, that when the Jewish people came to Mitzrayim, most of them were idolaters. So he says, "Kesas kibul yunim lohigia el mavel galgal kachosav meisav." In other words, they were able to comprehend until the highest spheres. Became a chem lo chagum and amuchash lohigil shlema sichlis. Most people had not reached an intellectual level, they can conceive of a God who transcends the physically apparent world as we observe it. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, what do you have to explain to them? In other words, Ekir Sherekir basically expresses the concept that God is the necessarily existent being. That's what Ekir Ekir is. As the Rambam says, Zehu Hashem HaNigzav in Haya V'hu HaMetzius. Ki Haya Meira HaMeshachah Shel Kan. In other words, Haya means a Metzius, to exist, to be. So says the Rambam, Kol HaSoyin Hu B'chazorah Al Ois Debitay Atzvoy. HaMeira LaMetzius B'tor Toya Sharei Asher Matzrich HaSkaris Toya B'chu Be'leah B'kevin Shimila Chaseira HaGereh Shmishpat Zika. And he brings two words in Arabic. Hashem Arishin Hu Amatua Hu Shas Ekya, I will be. Hashem Hasheni Ekya Asher Hu Mamish. So Keilu Hu Amat simply says Hu Foolish Shamatua Hu Atara Atzmo. In other words, basically, God and his description are one and the same. Ekya Asher Ekya. My description and I are one and the same. That means that God exists not as a existence, is not a attribute separate from God's essence, but it's identical with God's essence. That means God exists, but not because existence is an attribute that may or may not apply to God, but God's existence is at one with his essence. He necessarily exists. This is everything we've been speaking about in these chapters. Who heavy afil seeker mashbo zois hanimsa shehu nimsa umachuyav hametzias. It was basically ekya is actually the Torah's description of the negative theological concept of God's essence as a necessary that who necessarily exists. So says the Rambam on page 164, this is the thing which one can prove rigorously, as I do, says the Rambam, and Mi'at Hashem will see in the beginning of Chelek Beis, that God necessarily exists. Says the Rambam, going to prove it to you later on. So after that he says, Lech v'yazaf zikni Yisrael, after that gather, after he's proven to Moshe Rabbeinu that he is the necessarily existent being, so he says, after that, go gather the elders of the Jewish people, and he promises him at the end, Seifim she'avino mashi masati lecha, they'll understand what I said to you, and they'll makabel it. And then it says, V'sham l'kolecha, as chazal av ha'shalom v'omar, he says, says Moshe Rabbeinu, and Yekabel and Tzoyis and Chochas, they'll accept all the proof. But Moshe Rabbeinu is going to go and tell the Baruch Avuchim to the Jewish people. He's going to prove God's existence. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, they'll accept the Moibsis HaSichlis HaElu. But what about if they ask you, right? They just sent me. So then, HaKadosh Baruch will give Moshe Rabbeinu the nes that he tells him. Now, in other words, says the Rambam, we see from this that when it says Mashemai, right, is that the person who sent you? Mashemai means what is the essence of God that we should praise Him? It was Moshe Rabbeinu was coming to inform the Jewish people of a new concept of God that they had never been exposed to, because as the Rambam says, at that time most people had no inkling of any concept of a transcendental God. In other words, they were steeped in pagan culture, and their knowledge of the world only extended to the, you know, to the highest spheres, the, you know, the highest astronomical, celestial, you know, parts of the universe. Okay, now, very, very interesting. What's so interesting? What's interesting is two things. First of all, I want to go back. We see clearly that we spoke about the fact that the Rambam is mustering proofs as to the necessary existence of Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Rambam is claiming, is that what this was Moshe Rabbeinu did too? That was Moshe Rabbeinu, in a certain sense, is in fact actually doing what the Rambam is doing. The Rambam is informing people of the proper nature, the proper essence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? Which is in fact actually what Moshe Rabbeinu did too. And in fact, even more so, the Rambam in the preceding chapters has in a very detailed way shown us how the concept of the God's, in other words, necessary existence, and which is identical with his essence, has somehow been lost in the Jewish people. And the Rambam is coming, in fact, actually, in a certain sense, to restore this fundamental faith. Now, this leads me to a much wider question, which I want to discuss with you. And I want everybody to really hold on now, because it really leads me to, I think, one of the most, probably what I would say, is the most penetrating and central question in the entire Maariv Avochim. Okay? You all know that the Rambam wrote things, other things, besides the Maariv Avochim, right? One of the things that Rambam wrote, I think, when he was very young, in his 20s, he wrote a commentary to the Mishnah, the Perush HaMishnah, and he wrote a Hakdam, an introduction. Well, he wrote an introduction to the entire Perush HaMishnayos, and he also wrote a Hakdam, an introduction to Perek Chelek, the first Mishnah in Perek Chelek, in which, as everyone knows, this is the Rambam's famous introduction, in which he sets forth what he calls the 13 principles of faith. Now, the seventh principle of faith of the Rambam is Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, actually, if I just look at the Shilat edition, it turns out that the seventh principle of faith occupies like one third of the area of all the 13 principles, meaning that he elaborates very, very much in the seventh principle, as opposed to, let's say, for example, the sixth principle, where he just speaks about the fundamental belief in something called prophecy. And there the Rambam goes into quite a detail. In fact, he gives actually four distinctions between Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy and between the prophecy of all other Nevi'im. That's what the Rambam does. Now, the Rambam makes a very interesting statement, which I would like to read to you, because I feel that this statement has actually been overlooked by a lot of people. I've never seen any explanation to it. The Rambam says like this, Hayisi Reitze, I'm in the Shilat edition, on Daf Kuf Mem Beis, says the Rambam, Hayisi Reitze Levar Kan Zeh Inyan HaNifla. I would like to really explain this incredible Inyan, this incredible idea. That means Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy. To open up psukim, verses of the Torah that have heretofore been locked. To explain the concept of pel peh, mouth to mouth, because of the entire pasuk. And other psukim like it. But these inyanim, says the Rambam, are very, very subtle. I'd have to expound upon this. Right? Introductions, metaphors, it's a whole alphabet, it's a whole work. We should avoid the chilim b'tzias ha-malachim. We have to speak about the angels. The chilim b'tzias ha-malachim and explain the hierarchy of angels and intellect from a kodesh baruch hu. We should avoid ha-nefesh kol-chayseh. We have to speak about man's soul and the koiches of his soul. Nefesh soul is actually another translation for the Rambam. And speak about the speech, the language that's used by Nevi'im when they speak about the Kodesh Baruch and the Malachim. Even if I actually made this as short as possible, may I adapt? It would at least be 100 pages. Therefore, I'm going to leave it for its place. In the Sefer Perush HaDroshos, Yedati L'Chabroi, maybe a book in which I'm going to explain the Droshos that I intend in Yitzhak Hashem to write. Or the Sefer Nevuah, Shachel Zabai, or a book on the prophecy. Or the Sefer Perush HaDroshos, or a book explaining these sages. Now, where did the Rambam write this? The Chayyar, the Rambam never wrote this book. Okay? For example, if I look at the Mishnah Torah, Mr. Torah basically doesn't give me much more than the Rambam says in the Yud Gimel Lichon. Even less than that about Moshe Rabbeinu. The Mori Nevuchim. There's no section of Moshe Rabbeinu and Mori Nevuchim. So, what would I have to say? I'd have to say that, in fact, as the Rambam wrote this, he was hoping to, you know, to lead this for a book. I never got there. It's hard to say that. I'll tell you why.
His son says that about me.
What?
Avram Ben Rambam writes about in his Pirshon on Agadatah that this is the book his father once wrote and never wrote.
Right, on Agadatahs. On Agadatahs. But the point is that I want to explain two things. First of all, is we know that the Rambam constantly edited and re-edited his works. In other words, the Rambam was editing this work here when it was already rather old. In other words, I mean, he never began the book. He never said something. I'm going to speak about it. What?
But his son says that about Sefer Droshes.
No, the Rambam says that. No, the Sefer Droshes. That's true. That may book about Agadatah.
I said, but if he's constantly re-editing, why didn't he take it?
Well, first of all, not sure what the son is saying is actually referring to this over here.
He says
his father wanted to about a midrash, but the Rambam didn't do it. Okay, but I have another question. Okay, you like this. I mean, the voice Moshe Rabbeinu is central in Judaism. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going to write a book on anything, I mean, prophecy, the Rambam wrote a book on prophecy. Murder book is a whole section on prophecy. What about Eloh HaYisaitas? I mean, that's the Murder book. The Murder book is all the Yisaitas, the name of God, creation, the mitzvahs, you have it. Even Perush HaDroshes, maybe it's not a book on the Agadatahs, but certainly in the Mori Nevuchim you have a tremendous amount of birum, not only of words, but also of midrashim. Where is Moshe Rabbeinu in the Mori Nevuchim? And not only that, it's not like Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, there's a section of Mori Nevuchim which we don't have. Because, for example, the Rambam was aware of this. He didn't forget Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam constantly says in several chapters, for example, in the second chelik, in the second chelik of Nevuchim, in the section of prophecy, he says, "I'm not going to speak about Moshe Rabbeinu here. I already spoke about him, where? In the Yad HaChazakah. And then he says over here, too, we're going to get in other places too. I'm not going to speak about Moshe Rabbeinu. I know he said something. Why did the Rambam say in the Mor Nevuchim, I'm hoping to write a chibur about Moshe Rabbeinu? How come he never says in the Mor Nevuchim, I'm hoping to write a chibur about Moshe Rabbeinu? He doesn't say that. And let me ask about Avraham and Rambam too. The Rambam was going to write a Pesha that God has to do it. But what about the same about Moshe Rabbeinu? That's a bigger task. The chibur and Rosh is only part of the chibur of Moshe Rabbeinu. Where's the chibur of Moshe Rabbeinu? And in the Mor Nevuchim he says, I'm not going to be Moshe Rabbeinu. I already spoke about it. What? In the Mishnah Torah. What is speak about the Mishnah Torah? One parak in the Mishnah Torah? That's all you have to say about Moshe Rabbeinu? I find that very, very hard to believe. Rabbeisai, how could the Rambam have not spoken about Moshe Rabbeinu? How could that be Moshe Rabbeinu? I want to go back here and what we've learned about the negative theology. The Rambam, for example, in Perek Nun Dalet, chapter 54, there the Rambam, right? There the Rambam, after several chapters in which he develops the concept of negative theology about what can we attribute and not attribute to Kadosh Baruch Hu, there the Rambam, in fact, who's the person? Who's the person in the Torah who's informed that no human being can ever make a positive statement or attribute anything positive about God? Who is it? It's Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, where is negative theology in the Chumash? It's Moshe Rabbeinu. In the end of Parshas Kisisa, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, what knows God's essence? The entire sugya of negative theology is here by Moshe Rabbeinu. By the way, Derech Agav, not only the negative theology, but the concept of Jewish ethics too is here. You can say this of a halacha. In Perek Samach Gimel, in this chapter, who informs the Jews of negative theology? It's Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? In other words, he's going to come to Klal Yisrael. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Ekya Sherekya. Kadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu to transmit to the Jewish people the negative theology. It's rather clear that in the case of negative theology, who in fact is, who is the prototype? Who in fact is that person in Jewish history who acts as the, what you would call is the precedent for the Rambam? None other than Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, what the Rambam is doing, it's very clear. What the Rambam is doing in the section, the chapters of negative theology, is none other than what Moshe Rabbeinu did historically at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Rambam clearly understands himself in Jewish history as performing very much the same role that Moshe Rabbeinu performed in history too. It's interesting that Kadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu Kol Tuvi in Perek Nun Dalet. That was the interconnection of all of the parts of reality. The Rambam says that's something you have to know before you read the Mor Nevuchim. You have to know all the physics. You have to be schooled in physics and Aristotelian physics before you can understand me. Because understanding the connections between the world is necessary in order, number one, to understand God's transcendence, and number two, in understanding therefore the basis of ethics. In other words, my claim is that in the section of negative theology, the Rambam clearly saw his position in Jewish history, his role in Jewish history, to be parallel to that of Moshe Rabbeinu when he spoke to Klal Yisrael. And that's why the Rambam has entire chapters about Yudkei Vavkei. Why Yudkei Vavkei? The Rambam is preparing us to understand the psukim of Moshe Rabbeinu as psukim that are referring to Moshe Rabbeinu's dissemination and his transmission of the negative theological concept of God to Klal Yisrael at that time in an age of idolaters. And that's clearly what the Rambam is doing here. It's an incredible thing. And that's what the Rambam says. And the Hakdamah, the Rambam says, L'vtoyach man'ulei psuki teira. I want to open up the man'ulei psuki teira. What psuki teira? The psukim of Moshe Rabbeinu, want to open them up and show to you that Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah is very much connected with the notion of God's unknowable essence. Now, we haven't made the connection with the nevuah, of course. We make it as a Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe you can say Moshe Rabbeinu lachod and his nevuah lachod. However, it is my contention that not only you're not going to believe this, not only are the sections of negative theology of the Rambam acting as Moshe Rabbeinu, so is the entire Meir Nevuchim. The Meir Nevuchim, the sections of Tamei HaMitzvahs, the sections of completion, intellectual, moral completion at the end of the Meir Nevuchim, there are very direct, even though they're veiled, but very, very direct references that this is the Torah of Torah's Moshe, the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, I want to claim, this is a sweeping claim, which of course I'm going to have to prove to you, but we have another six shulam to prove this. I want to claim that the entirety of the Meir Nevuchim was not none other than the Rambam communicating the Nevuah Moshe as it could be understood at this time. That's what I want to claim. And when the Rambam says, I'm going to run a chibur, that chibur is none other than what? The Meir Nevuchim. Of course, I have to prove that to you. I haven't proved it to you. Is that a claim? In any case, there's no doubt about it that in negative theology, the Rambam has brought up the case of Moshe Rabbeinu twice. Moshe Rabbeinu is the person who learns about the essence or the anomaly of the essence of God. He's the person who communicates to the Jewish people. And that is clearly life imitating the Meir Nevuchim. That is clearly the role that the Rambam sees for himself in these chapters of negative theology. Now, of course, I've said a very, very sweeping statement, which requires a lot of proof. Perhaps next week we'll go a little bit more into these things. I think it's very, very important. You know, the Rambam mentioned the Tzavaya, which is the paganists, the idolaters who lived at the time of Klal Yisrael. I mean, the Rambam understands in this Tamei HaMitzvahs that clearly the purpose of the mitzvahs was to direct the Jewish people from their idolatrous, you know, conception of the world towards a belief in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rambam says very, very clearly that this direction of the Jewish people, this is actually the major part of Teiras Moshe, the Vuas of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Rambam, who actually reveals us the Tamei HaMitzvahs, is actually revealing to us, in a certain sense, part and parcel of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. But of course, I'm going to go into the Mitzvah Shem and Rai the next year, okay? Until then, I think we'll stop over here because I think for the next time we'll have to go on further into this tangent. And it's chaval to actually just begin it and it's going off in a few minutes, but I'll leave you in a sense of tension, excitement. From an undisclosed pace in Yerushalayim, I wish everybody had slacha, kol tov until next week. Be well.